Praise be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our meditation this morning is the epistle for today, St. Paul's letter to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 7 to 16. In this message, Paul emphasizes the importance for all Christians to grow in their faith. In fact, he says that it's so important that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, gave the church certain gifts to be used for that purpose. The concept of growth is something that we're all very familiar with. Every living thing grows in one way or another. For example, we think often of a gardener who plants seeds in his garden, hoping one day that they'll grow and bring forth much and abundant fruit. Or, for example, the person who has a tree in his front yard, which he waters and fertilizes and cares for. And sometimes that tree begins to lean over to one side or another a little too much. So he plants a stake in the ground and ties a rope to that to straighten the tree out, to help it grow straight and tall and strong and beautiful. And each one of us, too, don't we also grow in our studies here as seminarians, in our walk with the Lord through our prayer and devotion? Growth is so important, in fact, that our synod even has entitled its new in-reach ministry program, That We May Grow. St. Paul talks about growth in our text. He says that speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him, who is the head, even Christ. Growth is commanded. It's more than just something nice and something that every living thing does. It's something that God commands. Yet we also know at the same time that although it is commanded, it's still something that's impossible for us to do on our own. Contrary to the current popular notions of many cults and self-fulfillment groups, to encourage people to develop that which is within their inner selves, to develop that potential for living, the wonderful thing that's inside of them, if they let that grow and multiply and really search their inner selves, they can find their true meaning and something that's really good about themselves. Contrary to that notion, St. Paul tells us, I know that within me, that is within my flesh, dwells no good thing. There's nothing good inside of us. For we know that out of our hearts proceed only evil thoughts and evil deeds. And even us, although we may not be persuaded, particularly by these cults or these self-fulfillment groups, so often we find ourselves slipping into this sin just as well. But so often we find ourselves giving ourselves credit for the things that we do or for some kind of good within us. It's a common error common to all mankind that somehow we take pride in our own doing instead of giving the credit to God, to whom it really belongs. St. Paul even talks about this in the verses just following our text. He there calls to the Ephesian Christians' minds the example of the Gentiles and how the Gentiles are unable to grow in faith or in any spiritual way. He tells them that they walk about in the futility of their minds, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. Because of that ignorance that is within them, because of that sin, because they don't have faith in Jesus Christ, it's impossible for them or for anyone else to grow in the Lord. Just as that tree that is leaning over needs help to grow up straight and tall and strong, so all Christians, all people, everywhere, need strength and help. And that help, of course, comes from God. St. Paul is aware that we're caught in a dilemma. He's aware of the fact that growth is required, but he's also aware of God's answer, God's help for that problem. And it's particularly significant that on today, the day after the celebration of Pentecost, of Ascension, that we see that Christ was also cognizant of that problem. St. Paul tells us in our text that when he left this world to assume his throne of majesty, he gave the church certain gifts to help them grow. Paul lists these. And he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers. In other words, he gave to the church the ministry of the word, that through the ministry of the word, the church might grow and be edified, as he goes on to say, that these gifts are particularly significant for the church in the results and the reasons why they're given. And these gifts are particularly significant for you and me today, because in just a short while, most of us, almost all of us, are going to be going out into the church using these gifts, eating these gifts of God, ministers of the word, of the word to our world. St. Paul tells us what these gifts, how these gifts are to be used. He says that therefore the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ, with the goal in mind that until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. That's our duty. That's the duty to all to whom those gifts are given. It's our duty that we might equip the saints, that we might help people to come to a fuller knowledge of who the Son of God really is, and all that God would have us know about him, that we might help prepare them for their work of service to one another in the body of Christ. These are the gifts that St. Paul talks about in our text, and they're accompanied, as we know so well, by other gifts that Christ gives to his church, the word and the sacraments, the very tools that God gives us, the means of grace, whereby these gifts might work results. And Paul talks about the wonderful results that these works, that these gifts should work. He says, as a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ. These are wonderful gifts, and they have a solemn responsibility. But let's not lose sight of the fact that they're gifts of grace. From the very first verse of our text this morning, verse 7, St. Paul makes it so clear to us that these gifts that Christ has given to his church are gifts of grace. We're so familiar with those gifts of grace in other respects. We say that by the gift of grace, God sent his Son into the world to make atonement between God and man. That the spark of faith that's within our heart is a gift of God's grace. That the means of grace, the word and the sacrament, also are those gifts of grace. So also Paul points out to us today that the ministers of the word are also gifts of grace. For God has not only given us the most precious gift of all, our eternal salvation, but he's given us every possible thing that we need, that our faith needs, to be nourished and to grow strong within us. That's the wonderful gift that God has given to all of us. It's more than just the spark of faith. It's everything that faith needs to grow and to flourish. These gifts that St. Paul mentions in Ephesians 4 are nothing from ourselves, but from God. They're his free gift for us. And truly God has blessed us with every spiritual gift, and how we ought to give thanks for that. For he has given us that seed of faith, but also the stake and the rope to help us to grow straight and tall and strong in the Lord. As he says, into the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. God has made us members of his body and has given us everything that we need to grow mature in that body. We could say, therefore, that there are two applications to be made to us, particularly today as seminarians. First of all, that we should give thanks to God for his gracious gift. For it's because of God's gracious gift that we are what we are, Christians, committed to our Lord, full of faith and full of love for God. We have benefited greatly from the gift of God, from the gift of faith, from the gift of the ministers of the Word who have taught us the full knowledge of the Son of God, the pastors and the teachers and the professors who have brought us to this point in our lives already, and who we know will continue to help us, to equip us for our work of service, as St. Paul says. We need to continue growing in that relationship that God has already given us, making full use of the gift that he offers. Secondly, this text speaks to us as future pastors and teachers, telling us that we should be faithful in our service. We need to use the gifts that God has given us in the way for which they were intended. We need to help the church to strive after the unity of faith, toward a better knowledge of the Son of God, toward a more complete manhood, to help them to avoid the trickery of false doctrine, to help them to grow tall in him who is the head, Jesus Christ, our ascended Lord. So that, as St. Paul concludes, the whole body, being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. May that be our goal, that we might cause the body to grow for the building up of itself in love. God has given us wonderful gifts, the gift of atonement, the gift of his means of grace, the gift of the ministers of the Word, and all the spiritual blessings that he promises us. Give thanks to him for his graciousness, and grow while you help others grow. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen.